Here.
Megan Litster.
Here.
Cheryl File.
Here.
Jay Lister.
Here.
Mara Lukowski.
Here.
Okay. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues, commercial or pleasure, boat and crew, Petersburg Insurance offering asset protection on the water or at home.
13.9 resignation acceptance to under new business. Second. Okay. And I'm drawing a blank. Do we need to, under the approval, we'll, remember that I have to, the order in which we do this. So we'll make a motion to add it. Second, I guess all those in favor of adding?
Aye.
Okay, opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes, and so then we'll move on to making the approving of the agenda with that addendum for February 9th, 2016. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for February 9th, 2016 with the addendum.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Next, student representative report.
Tricky. Okay. Well, I don't have much to report on right now. Is it? Okay. A few things we talked about at our ASB meetings is that we are now funding through Heifer International. I can't remember. I think we sent a goat and a flock of hope or two. And we meant to get a message out to the students through, like, either a poster or a general email, but I'll have to check back with our student president on that. Other than that, I really don't have much to update on, other than the fact that a few of the students have come to me about their concerns with the dress code, and I told them if they could, like, get either a letter together or even if they wanted to come here in person and address, we could figure it out. But so they have opinions, and they would like to share them with you at some point.
That would be the best way to do it. Okay. Any correspondence? Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Comments from the audience related to agenda items? Okay. Any comments from board members? Okay. We'll move on to the consent agenda. I'll move to approve the consent agenda for January 2016.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Irene, can you call the roll?
Cheryl,
yes.
Megan Litster.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Mara Lukowski.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes. Okay, motion passes 5-0. Next on to administrative report, Superintendent Quick Painter.
Okay. A couple of things going on. I wanted to recognize Carly Johnson, just our food service director, just completed her review, a state review. They do it every 5 years, I think, a full-on review. So the gal came down from the state and had very glowing things to say about her program, had a few things that she wanted her to do differently, and we'll probably have Carly come on her own in the next month or so and give you kind of the full picture, but they had very positive things to say about what she's doing with our program, so I want to recognize her continued good work. As many of you know on the board and maybe in the community, our Education Commissioner Hanley stepped down this week amidst a bit of controversy, I would say. So there's a lot going on in the state, and a lot of things dealing with budgets and a lot of things dealing with how things are going to go this spring and beyond in our schools, dealing with the new ESSA Act, the Every Student Succeeds Act, the replacing NCLB. There's a lot of things to figure out, a lot of things coming back to the state, which is good, but it's a lot of things to figure out. So all kinds of things with highly qualified status and assessments and teacher evaluation and all kinds of things. So it's going to be an interesting ride, I think, this spring again. And I know Mara's going to be addressing her recent visit to Juneau. And then I go up for the superintendent fly-in the 19th of February, so I'll be up there in a week or so. And then I have another fly-in in March. Is that me? Sorry, Joe.
It's always you.
It's always me. Another fly-in in March as well for school board members, so I think that'll be interesting to see what happens there. What else is going on? We are going forward with evaluations this month, looking for our exempt employees, for our principals, for Mr. Dormer and Mrs. Toland, and we're moving forward there. We'll have a formal recommendation in March for that, which we're looking forward to, and thank them for their work. And I think that's it for me for right now.
Great, thank you.
Okay.
All right, Director of Maintenance, Dan Tate.
Well, good evening. Last month I told you about the five-year inspection that the facilities went through. We had a representative from the Department of Education come down and take a look at everything that we're doing. And we received the preliminary report, so I thought I'd tell you about the highlights of the report. I've been told that the final report has been mailed, and we should see that pretty soon, and I don't think there'll be hardly any changes to it. He just asked a couple clarifications here and there. But again, for those who may not have heard last month, I had a facility visit to, the purpose of the visit was to do a preventive maintenance recertification site visit of our facilities as required by state statute. It covers preventative maintenance and facility management, and then they also help out with a little technical assistance if we need it. The certification summary is as follows. The Petersburg School District met the department's requirements as required by in regulations for preventive maintenance and facility management, and it covered all the topics that we talked about last month, which were maintenance management programs in place, energy consumption is accounted for, custodial efforts are evident, training for both maintenance and custodial meet acceptable requirements, and of course the renewal and replacement schedules for each of our buildings is available and being used, and we have a fixed asset inventory system that we all also utilize. So the highlights, I will just basically read them. These are general observations and comments from the observer. The overall quality of the maintenance care for the district facilities has improved since the department's last visit in March of 2011. A sense of improved organization and smart decision making appear to be paying off. With a few rare exceptions, the majority of spaces visited exhibited above standard levels of maintenance care. It is evident that the district is putting forth major efforts in the diligent care and maintenance of its aging facilities. The next point, the district is putting forth major efforts mitigating energy consumption. Most impressive is the maintenance team's ability to optimize the building's automation system for climate control. And furthermore, the maintenance personnel proves quite skillful in demonstrating a thorough understanding of the energy management system's capabilities, as well as how to use it on a daily basis. Custodial care of the schools was found to be good. The custodial care varied from adequate to above standard in certain areas. The report noted the district's preliminary efforts to develop a modern custodial program and to develop a team attitude and pride in custodial achievements. Again, that's an ongoing thing that I'm still working on. And as depicted in many photos that are in this 35-page report, it says here that the results of sustained sustained excellence in custodial care speak for themselves. It mentioned that training is taking place and covers many of the basic requirements mandated by the state of Alaska and OSHA. The district is investing much energy and capital planning and general upkeep of its facilities. And again, the district is to be commended for managing its resources effectively by bringing various bodies together, school board members, principals, superintendent, maintenance director, and contractors, and thereby making informed decisions in the facilities. There were some recommendations, but they were all pretty much of an administrative nature. This will be a little bit boring. Recommendation was made to add a training column in our maintenance management tracking program. He did note that in this era of loss prevention and risk management, training not only empowers employees to become valuable assets of the district's workforce, but it also educates them about exposure to various hazards and how to protect themselves. But it also protects the district in case of a litigation where employers are held responsible for the training and safety of employees. A recommendation was made to specify actual dates of training in our training logs, although it was noted that the dates were reported in supplementary info that were supplied along with the logs. A recommendation was made to itemize our summer projects and labor by month instead of by the summer season for better reporting purposes for the deed. And a recommendation was made to add more details in our renewal and replacement schedules. They're basically looking for a summary recovery sheet for each building, giving historical data, what's been done during the year, and which will help explain changes and improvements to our buildings as we move along year to year. And a final recommendation was just encouraging the district to contact the deed prior to submitting any maintenance reports, especially during the CIP application process, to correct any anomalies before the data is received by the state. And then on a personal note, I just would like to thank the board and the administrative team for giving me the tools, pun intended, and the budgetary support and the professional development I need to do a capable job for all of you. It's very much appreciated. I'll just give you a quick summary of what's going on this past month and what's coming up since I took a lot of time on that. Alaska Commercial Contractors completed the warranty work on our ADA automatic door openers over at the elementary school. With a little luck, that's the last of that. We're just waiting on P.A. O'Reilly to finish the 1% for art, which we're looking forward to getting up on the buildings come this spring. Student teachers and custodians alike are working out the kinks in the commingled recycling program. Now, you'd be amazed at the amount of effort and cooperation this is taking, but we're getting there. And I think the custodians are thankful that everyone's pitching in to help because, you know, many hands make for light work, and we do make a lot of commingled recycling products on any given day. Our superintendent and director of finance and I have been laying the groundwork for our first facility committee meeting, and we're going to be identifying and ranking our major maintenance needs for the upcoming years, and then putting together our capital improvement application list that we will distribute to the state at the end of the summer. Looking towards March and spring break, bleacher repairs are on the horizon for us due to aging seat plastic. We're hoping to maybe come up with a permanent fix for that problem. We're going to remodel, hopefully, if we have time, the elementary front office. This is a vision headed up by Principal Tolan, whereby we're going to try to move the administrative assistant up front towards the hallway, just like we have in the middle school and the high school. If you can picture that, a whole new front receiving area, essentially. And then Ketchikan Mechanical will be in to correct a 40-year-old code deficiency in our 75 edition of the high school. They're going to be installing a backflow preventer in our sprinkler system, so all that rusty water that's in the sprinkler system can't backflow into the potable water system. But as far as we know, it never has in 40 years, but it's required by code. So we'll be taking care of that. And as always, we'll do continued deep cleaning as we do every spring break, and this will lead us right into the graduation season. It's not that far away. Is there any questions? Yes.
I have a question. You mentioned, is that an ADA ramp or is it a door on that?
The automatic door openers for the ADA system.
Are we going to do something like that at the high school?
We're already talking about the future in that. We do need to look forward because our students will be coming up through that system from the elementary school.
I just saw someone last week. So I was just kind of wondering.
When we get to our facility committee meeting here in the coming spring, it'll be one of the hot topics, essentially, how we're going to look and get that done.
You get to hear about it tonight, actually.
Okay. Cool. I get to hear about it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dan. And I will say, I have noticed over the last several years since you took the helm, a tremendous change in the quality and how everything's been run, and it is 99% leadership, I think, in this case, in bringing everybody on board and really spearheading and leading them, and you've done an excellent job.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I have a good team that I work with as well. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay. Next, we'll have principal's report. First, we'll start with Terry Tolan.
Good Well, good evening. It's nice to be here again, as always. So in January, we did our mid-year testing, and then we were able to take some of the data and discuss it with our Renaissance Learning company that helps us with that data. And it was some really good training that teachers got on how to take the data and learn even more and understand it better. So that was very worthwhile. As Erica mentioned, we're finishing up on our teacher evaluations and finding that to be a really positive process to sit down with teachers and discuss their evaluation. We had our winter ball, and it was a huge success, very fun for the kids. And a big thank you goes to the PI organization, Andrea Weathers, who brings her enthusiasm and helped organize the dancing there, and all the families that came. It was well attended and a lovely evening. For Read Across America's celebration in February, we've chosen to do Read to Feed, which is affiliated with Heifer International, and it sounds like it's similar. It's the same program that the high school's done, and Mr. K and the Student Council have organized that, so you may see some cows around town and, and around the school, and it's just a reminder that students are reading and taking pledges, hoping to get money so that we can buy cows, water buffalo, geese, chickens, and help people around the world who needs ways to sustain themselves. So we're excited to be helping them in this way. We had our spelling bee today, our school spelling bee, and the Stedman winner is Aiden Cotta. He's a fourth grader, and he did a great job, and then he is also the district spelling bee champ, so we're very, very happy for him, very proud of him, and he'll have the opportunity to go to Anchorage and compete there. Later in this month, we are attending a PBIS conference in Portland. Becky Martin, Sharon Smith, and myself from the elementary will go, and we're really excited to get ideas to improve on what we're doing and get some new enthusiasm going so that we can see this through the long haul. And that same week, we have some teachers going up to ASTE. And on March 3rd and 4th is the calendar change that came about, and that is when we are doing our conferences. So we'll be reminding parents of that, and then we have the Scholastic Book Fair during that same week. So we're thankful for Katie Gilpin for doing that. And then, since it is School Board Appreciation Month, which I did not know, but Mary Midkiff's third grade class prepared some letters for you. They went through and talked about what the school board does, so they were stunned to find out that you do it for free. And so I'll just leave these with you so you can read them at your leisure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Dolan. Sweet. Okay, next, Principal Rick Dormer from Middle School High School.
Hi, good evening. Busy time, actually not much on my notes. I think Mr. Cabral's got lots and lots. It feels like we were in the meat, yeah, of activity time. I was looking through everything thinking, well, that's Jamie's. No, that'll be Jamie's too. But there's a lot going on. There's just a lot of everything going on. So probably the highlight is we wrapped up semester one and quarter two in the middle school and the high school, which is big time. And that's a finals week for the high school, and I thought was very successful. And good to see kids again really studying hard for these long finals that we just do twice a year. So that went well. And it's the teacher's been working hard to have a good system with some study periods in there, still having the appropriate time, and it's pretty good. I think it's a pretty good thing that happens. So that's great. Quarter two was great for the middle school, and they had a little bit. They have a couple hours of fun time at the end of a quarter, celebrating a fun dance that night and activities, and that also was good. So nice to celebrate hard work and going halfway through the year academically and start it all up again, which is how we like it. So that was good. Teachers continue to work hard on curriculum. I was just looking through my notes and realized the social studies teachers have worked hard, and they are almost done with their curriculum. So that'll be something that will be coming, the curriculum steering committee, which has one of you on it soon. That's what I thought, Sarah. And then and some students and staff will talk about it, and then the board will see it at the end of the year. So that should be coming up, and that's a K-12 curriculum thing. So that's moving along, going just fine. Teachers doing great with that. Happening right now, tomorrow night and the next night, we do have secondary conferences, and this is new for the community, and just reminding people that are listening that the conferences just in the middle school and high school are now. We really wanted to find a time shuffling. Remember, we talked about this before, just getting it closer to that that semester break and that quarter two break. So those are coming Wednesday and Thursday night, Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. Excuse me, in both buildings. The middle school is a schedule only on Wednesday, and so if someone's interested, as they got a letter home, to give us a call, and then 3 to 8 on Thursday night for high school and middle school, and those are drop-in with both buildings during that time. So encourage parents to come and set something up, and if those times don't work, hopefully they've made contact with the office, but we just hope to love getting lots of people in there, and our attendance has been going up and up, so I hope we keep that trend going to see a lot of families. It's good for everybody to sit down and talk. We'll also be celebrating on, got a lot going on, doing some class meetings tomorrow in the high schools to kind of sort things out with the classes, and then we'll have our awards assembly on Thursday morning in the high school, those semester awards, and that's at 9:30 in the morning in the auditorium, in Wright Auditorium, and that's always a great time, and the public is welcome to come in as we celebrate lots of cool academic things, and fun to see the teachers with their unique awards, you know, the shop award and the art award and kind of those fun things, in addition to students just getting overall good grades and recognizing honor roll. So that's Thursday morning at 9:30, and that's pretty fun. We did have the spelling bee today, which was super fun, too. We talked about the geography bee, which is another great thing, and then we had the spelling bee today, which went great. Really, really impressed with how well the students do, because that's a long time to kind of sit and watch and be on the edge of your seat. So students did really well. Really happy with the competitors. Again, same thing like Mr. Schwartz of the GOB. Felt like the kids really spelled well. Big thank you to Mrs. Paulson, who emceed it for both of them, and she's such a presence there. Makes it such a positive thing and just keeps focusing back on learning and reading and that kind of stuff, which we really appreciate. And congratulations to Brooklyn Dormer, who won the middle school and for the second year, so good for her. And then she lost to Aiden Cotta in the spell-off, which is great. Aiden's a fantastic speller, and as we told her in consolation, just a lot of the spelling bees, we knew when we went to state last year, that sometimes you just get a word that, you know, she missed an E in a word, and you just get that one word. And then Aiden won on autumn, which is a tough word. He spelled variance before that, which is also a very difficult word, very impressive. And then he, said something like he was on a spelling test recently, and I said, sometimes that's how things fall, you know. And again, Aiden's a very strong speller for him to go through two and not miss a single word all day. It was fantastic. So we're excited for Aiden, Mrs. Scott, and hope he has a great experience in Anchorage. It's fun. And congratulations to Brooklyn. I thought did a really nice job as well. So that was fun. And then finally coming up here just on the staff and aside side of things is ASTE is coming up, as Ms. Tolman, and that's a big district-wide with a large group of teachers an aide going for PBIS. So ASTE's going with a lot of teachers grow up and learn about technology, which is so integral to what we do, especially in the high school, but district-wide. And then following that, then some teachers are going, and then aide to the Positive Behavior Intervention Support Conference. And that's something we haven't gone to in a while. It felt like it was time. So, and that's something that's very, very key in all three buildings. So I'm excited. I haven't got to go yet, so this will be my first year going to a PBIS conference for Petersburg. I went when I was down south, so I'm excited. Those are two great things that we'll come back and we'll see. I think immediate, both of those will be staff teaching staff members in return, and we'll see, I think, immediate changes, upgrades to both those programs, both technology and then positive behavior supports when we get back. So pretty cool. Questions for me?
Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Okay. Activities Director, Mr. Ball.
Good evening. Long flight this morning. Thank you, Harris Air, for getting us here safe. It was foggy, but we beat the jets, so yeah. Just got back from Region 5 meetings in Sitka, our winter meeting that all the activity directors from Southeast Alaska get together, and lots of stuff that we discussed, and we were dedicated because we did it over Super Bowl Sunday, so yes, we had a computer up, and it was great, besides my fist pumping in between, so it was good. Activities coming up, our lovely calendar, our activity calendar is really blue. with different things going on with secondary conferences. We are hosting Schoenbar Middle School and Wrangell, and not sure if Craig's going to make it over yet for wrestling this weekend. We have homecoming for our high school basketball and cheer teams in Wrangell this weekend, and they get to miss 0 minutes of school this weekend for this trip. Yes. Nice. So it's one of the awesome ones. Always fun to have. It's a very healthy rivalry, so it's really fun for them. And then next week we have home basketball games with Haynes girls on Thursday and Metlakatla girls, and our boys will be heading down to Metlakatla next week. So then we have a weekend off, but that is also the weekend for National Ocean Science Bowl, heading on up to Seward for their awesome competition up there. They are dedicated when there's a light still on at the school and every place else is dark and people are practicing and the kids are in there working. And I wanted to push the buttons the other night with all the light-up stuff. When you push the buttons, kind of like, who got it first? It was fun. They're working hard, though, working real hard, getting ready for that one. And then basketball's coming to an end here shortly with our region tournament in Sitka. Middle school wrestling will be ending here soon as well, and then we'll get right into middle school volleyball and track and field. And then our spring sports are slowly stacking up, ready to get going with track and field and baseball. So not much of a break. We'll go right into it and all that. So another big activity that Rachel has put together. And yeah, you did it all. Rachel and I are part of the Title VII Indian Ed Grant, and we have, with the okay of Mr. Dormer, we're going to take some teachers' times possibly, but we are going to do a Native Alaskan unit, and we're trying to bring in and work with University of Alaska Southeast and actually bring in their, his correct title?
Alaska Studies
professor, and some students from there to do clinics one day for the high school, one day for the middle school, and we're going to do a bunch of different sessions with the students from University of Alaska Southeast, and also getting Doug Chilton in here to do some paddle making information from Craig. He was here this past summer. Got to visit with Mount Edgecombe students this past week on a couple open hours that I had of what they do for Elizabeth Paradovich Day, because she's so important to Southeast Alaska and the history behind that. So really getting into the roots of the Tlingit and the Southeast Alaska, the Native Alaskan piece here. So we're going to be putting that on. Right now we have it scheduled for March 3rd and 4th, and we're trying to also do a community gathering night, and Rachel did all the work on this. March 3rd, we're kind of doing the evening session with the community, because we're going to go Friday with the middle school, because we kind of wanted them to go through all the classes that we have there. So kind of fun. It's coming together. We have a bunch of parents on there, as well as Jeanette Ness showing up. We have some students on our committee as well that we meet every chance we get, and just kind of trying to plan everything together. So hopefully if schedules work out and everything else works out, we can plug it all in. It should be a fun time for just the community, and just kind of especially for our Native students, that they get a little bit more exposure to that piece. So anything else you want to add on that? Ray, is that good? Okay. Hey, thanks. And then spring's coming around, and the calendar gets more crazy and more crazy and more crazy. And we were talking 2017 already at our meetings, so planning all that stuff. And cross country in the fall starts in a couple days. So July 27th, away we go. So any questions you guys got for me? Okay.
No. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Next, moving on to something we started last month, I believe, for those that maybe weren't able to listen or weren't aware that we're added the school board committee report, since we are not only on the school board, but we're also part of some of the subcommittees that run, keep the school moving, and so we have them listed here. Curriculum, Mr. Dormer talked a little bit about, but I haven't been to a meeting this year. I don't think you knew I was on there. So hopefully for the rest of the year I will be able to attend. Crisis, have you had probably anything since last month? No? Okay. Technology, we met in the fall, and I don't think we'll probably be meeting again until the spring, but mostly what they were discussing was there is no curriculum to follow in the state for technology, and so the school district or the team of teachers that are on that committee are developing one from K through 12, what our expectations are for kids once they get introduced to technology all the way, what do we want to see when they exit our school system, and then what to do with any kid coming into our school system, what do we do if they're substantially far behind and where the rest of our kids are. And so they were developing kind of a almost a boot camp for some of the kids in the eighth grade on up, what you do. And so that was all in the works in the fall. And I believe, actually, wasn't it the Department of Ed asked John Painter, who is the one who leads the group, can we get a copy of that when you're done so they can share it with other school districts, because there was nothing to even start with. So I think they're still plugging away at that. So that's my mini report from technology. So wellness, Jay?
There was a meeting, it was last week?
A couple weeks ago.
But Ginger did a real good job at that, and they talked about the upcoming health fair. And it sounds like the hospital's going to be spearheading that this year instead of Parks and Rec, because of some of the cutbacks for Parks and Rec, if that's correct there.
Mm-hmm.
And Ginger always does a good job with all that. She had a lot of information, but things are going well in that area.
Okay, and facilities?
Haven't had a meeting yet. Sounds like it's coming up.
Yep.
I don't know the dates yet.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Legislative liaison. Yeah.
I'll report at the end.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. And Megan, you probably don't have much to add since you weren't able to get to Juneau with Mara, if you're still there.
I am still here. No, nothing to add. I'm going to look forward to hearing Mara's report, and then, of course, we will continue to monitor what's going on in the during the session and provide information each month.
Okay, great. Policy, Cheryl?
We'll discuss it in the...
Later on. Okay, yeah, we have a couple spots on the later on to the agenda. And negotiations, which I think probably we'll discuss a little bit later on, unless you have,
We have a meeting coming up with our negotiation team, and then we will be meeting with the teacher negotiation team the following week. So.
Okay. Great.
This week and next week.
Okay. Thank you. Am I missing something on 11.6?
Nope, that's just we are recognizing each month when we decided to add.
That's right.
And I have something.
You do? Oh, great. So we're on to 11.6 special recognition, and Superintendent Clune Painter is going to take over from there.
I do. So to follow up with Mrs. Midkiff, it is School Board Appreciation Month, February. So I think what I would like to do actually is just read through a letter that I actually sent in to be put in the paper this week to the editor. And I just would like to read it to all of you fabulous board members. So, Megan, I don't know if you can hear me, but I can send you a copy. So,
I can hear.
Okay. So school board members volunteer hundreds of hours and an immeasurable amount of energy to assure that our schools are providing the best education possible for the children of our community. February is School Board Recognition Month, and I encourage you to show your appreciation for the tireless work of our local school board members. School board members are citizens whose decisions affect our children, what they learn, who will teach them, and what kinds of facilities house their classrooms. These are men and women elected to establish the policies that provide the framework for our public schools. They represent you, and they take this responsibility seriously by attending lengthy and sometimes turbulent meetings, conferences, and institutes where they broaden their knowledge about education during numerous conversations about the schools and before the Alaska legislature. Too often, we are quick to criticize board members without really knowing all the details that went into any given decision. It's a difficult job. Our school board is one of 53 such boards across the state. These boards enable us to have local control of the public schools, meaning that decisions on school programming are made by local, elected representatives who understand the community's unique problems, values, cultures, and circumstances. They are your neighbors. It's a tradition that began more than 200 years ago. With the advice and counsel of the educational professionals they hire, our school board has an impact on virtually every aspect of our schools. It's a huge responsibility. Too often we neglect to recognize the dedication and hard work of these fabulous people up here. The staff and students of our school district are asking all citizens to take a moment to tell a school board member, thanks for caring about our children's education. Hats off to you. We salute the public servants of Petersburg School District, whose dedication and civic responsibility make local control of public schools in our community possible. Thank you. And I do want to recognize how many years each of you has been on here. Sarah's been on here since 2009. And Megan's been on since 2014. Cheryl Files been on since 2012. Jay Lister since 2014. And Mara Latomsky is our newest in 2015. So We have a little something for you. Not enough. First, I think we should give you a round of applause.
We don't get paid.
Money?
It's not
money.
Pay me now?
Oh, it's almost payment then. I spent a lot of money on coffee, so that's great.
There's more things. It's a month of appreciation. So, you know.
Thank you.
Lots of spoiling.
So it's volunteering we're doing, right?
This is volunteering. We do appreciate you.
Thank you.
All of you.
I have a pin that says, don't yell at me.
I'm only a volunteer.
Oh, I like that. These will be fun. Oh, I like that.
We could start some good rumors about that. We do also have some cupcakes back here that we might be able to pass around while we're working, if you'd like to. Made by our fabulous Carly Johnson. Oh,
thank you, Carly.
And they came from Sharon Anderson.
Aww.
Those are her gift to you.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you, Sharon. If you're bothered to listen.
She's
officially on retirement. And thank you to Mrs. Mitka's class. I think we'll really enjoy reading these later.
So thank you.
All right, moving on to
really are bringing cupcakes.
Dates and meeting announcements. It looks like, we're already into. Let's do some of the ones, just reminder of, I think we've got, so we have the middle school by appointment and high school from 4 to 8 tomorrow for conferences, and then drop in on Thursday from 3 to 8 if you would like. And then we have on Thursday morning, though, at 9:30, the High School Awards Assembly. No school for high school on Friday? Okay, and middle school, right? Okay, but grade school still has school on Friday. Anything else that I'm missing upcoming besides that? Then we move on to late February.
And no school for everybody on Monday.
And no school at all on Monday. Ooh, I'm glad, because I probably would have...
President's Day.
President, if I'd looked at the calendar. So Monday is President's Day, so no school district-wide on Monday.
Right.
Okay. Then we move on to February 29th.
Ooh. Wow.
Once every 4 years. To set the board agenda, I can do it then.
Oh, it is a leap year.
Mm-hmm.
Cow.
Anybody else for the 29th at 3:30?
Date.
What day of the week?
Monday, I think.
It's Monday.
I think that's what we've been trying to do.
It's a Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the date?
A Monday, the 29th of February.
Must be good luck or something, right?
Oh, you want to do it? Okay. Mara said she could do it.
I could probably do that, too, if I can't hear who else.
Mara said she could do it. If you want to, that's fine if she wants to do it.
Okay.
Voluntary. Next, we have elementary conferences, which are about a little more than a month away, or a little bit less, I guess, would be on the 3rd and 4th. So early release on the 3rd, no school on the 4th of March. And then our next regular meeting will be March 8th, and Campus Connections, I can do that, and who else can do it with me at 12:30?
I can do that, too. It fits in with my schedule easily.
Okay.
And you're so good at it.
She's got it. Cheryl loves it.
Is that all right?
Yeah, I help in the library during that time.
Okay. So. All right, Meg, you and I are on then for them, and then our regular board meeting that night at 7 here in the council chambers. Then we have spring break, 14th through the 18th, for all students. And then when they get back, not too long later, state assessments, the 29th through the 31st. So, anything else? Okay, moving on to old business. Policy committee structure. Maybe Cheryl, if it's easier, or Meg, again, give us an update.
That'll be me.
Okay.
I have a little thing to read, so we have it all together. So, Megan and I are on the policy committee and with Erica. And as you know, we asked for public interest in restructuring the committee, and we received interest from many people, more than we expected. We have conducted short phone interviews to get to know people better and to understand their interest and availability. Because we had so much interest, we will narrow the scope a little to form the final committee. Our plan is to notify people in the next few weeks and schedule the next meeting in March. The reason why we're doing it in March is because we have a lot of things going on in February. A lot of people traveling and lots of other meetings going on. We would like people to know that the policy committee is an advisory committee that will make recommendations to the board but does not make decisions. We are formalizing the committee and will be providing the community with agendas and meeting minutes. As always, the community is welcome to attend the meeting, and by us posting the agenda, we hope that this will help people plan to attend when interested.
Thank you. Okay, next we'll talk about the school calendar.
So we had discussed a little bit last meeting about getting some feedback from community and from staff about the idea of trying to maybe reconfigure how Fridays work, or trying to trade time around and maybe looking at like one day a month or one day every 6 weeks or so to try to deal with all of the different mandates and things that are coming. Teachers did talk more about it and really tried to look at the time and what they're doing with that time on Fridays. They did feel that it's important to have that weekly connection. They were a little concerned about having just one day a month, feeling like there might be too much time in between, especially for working on, as Mrs. Tolan mentioned, talking about looking at data, talking about how kids are doing. They didn't necessarily want to have too much time going by before they were doing that, having some regular time. So, and we didn't hear much feedback from community. I think the community, from people I've talked to, have said really it needs to be what works best for, you know, teachers to do what they need to do. So at this point, we have a few calendars out in the district to get some feedback. We've looked at some different things with spring break and, you know, kind of put some dates on for Christmas, that sort of thing. If there's anything really strange that comes out of those, we would definitely want more feedback from either the board and or community. If it ends up being fairly similar to the current calendar, we'll probably just bring it to you in March. So they're out, though. If you guys want to take a look at the three that are being looked at, you can stop in any teacher's lounge, or I can email you copies of the drafts. So.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, moving on to new business. Director of Finance Karen Quistman will give an overview of the Tyler Technologies Infinite Vision Enterprise Edition software suite. Oof, that's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
First, I think we'll go ahead and do our motion, because then we'll hear about it and then we can discuss it. So I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of the Tyler Technologies Infinite Vision Enterprise Edition software suite program for $80,037.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Now we'll open up for discussion, but first we'd like to hear the report before we go on to any discussion and whether to move forward.
Okay, and I do realize that this is a huge decision that we're talking about here, because it's a lot of money, and we don't really talk about the finance office all that much, but I want to give you a little history of our current software system. It's called Banya Data System, and the district has actually used this software for 35 years. In the 5 years that I have, almost 5 years that I've been at the district, there has been no functional changes or improvements to the program. I do all the updates, and they're usually to fix bugs or little glitches in the program. Some of the weaknesses with the current program that we have, one is that it doesn't interface with ASOP. So ASOP is a program we brought in probably about 3 years ago, and it's the leave and substitute management program. So teachers go in, staff goes in, they put their leaves in. In theory, we should be able to pull a report from ASOP of all the leaves and upload it into payroll. Well, Banyan Data System and ASOP don't talk to each other. So all of these processes are done manually. So all the leaves are put in manually. And then we have to, after payroll's run and we have all the accruals for leaves, we actually have to manually go into ASOP and adjust all the leave balances. This is the same thing with the procurement card process that we have. So again, 2 years ago or about then, we brought in procurement cards, which are credit cards for the district that earn approximately 1%. Again, in theory, we should be able to pull a transaction report from BMO, which is the Bank of Montreal, and upload it into our fund accounting system, but they don't talk to each other. So all those credit card transactions are manually entered by my office. So really, the current system that we have, it's really outdated. It's inefficient. All the processes are done manually. And, of course, the more manual processes that you have, the more the margin of error is greater. Now, we do a really good job, I will say, in verifying all the transactions, but it's inefficient. So I've been looking for a new software program for the district for about 3 years. And I have done a survey to all the school business officers in the state of Alaska and asked, what programs are you guys using and what's your feedback on them? Well, the two most used ones are Alio and Black Mountain. There's one school district in the state that still uses BDS. And 3 years ago when I did this, nobody had raving reviews. There were still issues with these programs. Well, I didn't want to replace a new program or bring to the board and the community a new program that wasn't any better than the current program that we have. So I found Tyler Technologies, the Infinite Vision software program, a year ago in September when I went to the ASBO conference. And they had a booth there, and I spent a lot of time talking and looking at the program. And since that time, I had the opportunity to actually work with the business manager from Kodiak, who brought this program from a district that he worked at down south. So Kodiak is currently using this program, and in December I was able to sit with him. He logged onto the program and walked through a lot of the different processes with me, and I was very, very impressed. It's super efficient. It's easy to use. He had no negative things to say about that program, which is very rare in an accounting software program. Talked with a vendor at the annual conference in Anchorage, and she said, well, if you're interested in learning more about it, we'll come to Petersburg at no cost to your district, and we'll do a demo. And so that's what happened last week, and I thank the board members who were able to attend that, and all the staff members. We had a really great turnout. There was quite a wide variety of people in the district that came and looked at this program because it is a huge decision. So I want to talk about a few of the highlights of the program, and then I'll take questions. One of the things that I was really impressed with is the requisition process. It starts with the teacher or perhaps the secretary. It's all electronic, so they put the requisition in. The workflow is paperless. It goes to the direct supervisor. The direct supervisor approves that, and then it comes directly to me. That's where the paper is actually produced. So then we will, at the district office, we will do the ordering for the items, but the paper doesn't actually, it's not, papers aren't being passed from office to office like it currently is now. The procurement card program does interface with Infinite Visions, and actually it can be done on a user level or it can be done on the district level. So, for example, somebody in the district who has a credit card, procurement card, they can actually download their own transaction, go into the employee portal, put it into their budget, and then it comes directly to the district office. That's huge. No more manual entering of those individual transactions. Journal entries. Let's say an error was done when we cut a check. We account coded it wrong. Right now, the process is I have to write up the journal entries. I have to have Erica sign off on them. Adrian manually enters those. With this program, you can actually go in and you can change the account code, and it does a journal entry for you. It's automated. That's just the general fund accounting. With payroll, it does all the Affordable Care Act monitoring and reporting in the program. Right now, that's a manual process again. And Erica and I had looked at a program to purchase or a service to actually do the monitoring and the reporting for the Affordable Care Act, and that's $7,000 annually. We didn't think that that was cost effective. We figured it was better to use my time manually to do that. Another aspect with payroll is it does interface with ASOP, and so we can actually pull a leave report and a substitute report from ASOP and then upload it into payroll, and it'll autofill into the time cards. Again, this is all done manually in our payroll process. looking a little bit into the future, if the district decides we ever want to move to electric time cards, VeriTime is a component of ASOP, and it also interfaces with this Infinite Visions program. Another thing that I really liked about the program is you can actually take the negotiated salary and step schedules and the hourly rates of pay, and you can actually upload it and attach it to employees. So you can actually do some forecasting. You can plug in what would a 1% increase look like in an overall budget, and it calculates it in less than 2 minutes. Right now, that process is done on Excel spreadsheets, separate from the accounting software program, and then I manually enter it into the accounting software program. So that's some of the things about payroll and budgeting. Oh, go ahead.
How long does that take you?
We'll get to some of that in a little bit. Okay. When we're talking about budgets, again, that's all done, all the payroll part of that is done on an Excel spreadsheet and manually entered. And I just want to show you what my budget revision papers look like. This is the process we're currently using. And so after tonight's budget revision, assuming that the board approves it, I have to manually go in and enter all these red line items here. It's not done in the program automatically. It's all manual. And I love my job. I just want you all to know that I love my job. budget, you can actually create however many budget scenarios that you want within the program. So you can create 7 different budgets, and then the one that you say, okay, this is the one we're actually going to adopt, it's a one click, and it puts it all into the budget for you. Again, I have to create this every year. Our operating budget goes manually because I hate to say it, but you can't trust the current program. If I copy it over, something and gets missed, but I can't find out where it's missed because, you know, our account codes, we have a lot of them. Another thing that I really like about this system is that payroll is encumbered. So right now, when you're looking at our expenditure reports, you have the budget and you have the year-to-date amount. It doesn't encumber any of our payroll. So the bottom line of if you're over, you're under, your variance is not reflected in this current system. But in this new system, it actually shows you, oh, you're over budget by $30,000, or you're under by a certain amount, which is really helpful when you're trying to make the variances in your budgets to actual very small. So that's another thing that I was super impressed with. Human resources and Tyler content management. In the quote, there is the cost for electronic documents. We like the idea of the school district moving away from paper and towards electronic documents. We can upload employee certificates, evaluations, contracts. The employees can have access to all that information. The contracts can be actually created within the program, sent out to the teachers, and they can electronically sign it. Another part of the program that I thought was really interesting is there's an employee portal, and so that's where they have access to their personnel files. They have access to all of their payroll history. They have access to their deductions and benefits. They can print their own W-2s. Of course, we'll distribute those as well. But also in that portal is the requisition process, and they can actually log in, look real-time at their own budgets, find out where the requisition is in process. Is it at Terry's desk, Rick's desk, Karen's desk? Whose desk is it sitting at? And they can pull a detailed report of what they've spent for the year. All of that is in the employee's hands. Not that we don't want to interface with them. We do. It's just it empowers the employees to be able to look on their own portal and see all this information. So I think that's a really neat feature. Well, it's John's recommendation that we have Tyler host it, if the board approves this. We could use a current server that we have if we wanted to house it in-house, but the security settings that Tyler has and just the fact that John wouldn't have to manage it is a time-saving as far as his time. So that's kind of a real overview of the program of some of the kind of the advantages and what we're currently working on. It is hard to quantify the cost of purchasing a program like this, but the reality is that the current system we have is so inefficient. It's very time-consuming. I do think it would be a cost-saving program because it would allow us to reallocate some of the tasks that we're currently doing and just become more efficient as a district. And then there's the whole aspect of providing access of information to our employees and to the board as well, because you'll have access in the employee portal. You can look at the budget anytime that you want. When I tried to run up some numbers, just to give you guys some ideas of what some of the processes that we do take, I spend 4 to 5 weeks easily on budget revision, the initial budget for the state, and this doesn't even include necessarily the admin time. This is really just the time where I'm actually working with the system or with my spreadsheets trying to create a budget. Adrian and I talked today. We figure it takes about 8 hours per month to work on the ASOP leaves, and that's about 12 days per year. And it's about 15 days to enter the P-card transactions, just over 8 hours per month. The funds to purchase this would come out of capital, and actually the in the budget revision, what we talk about is the fact that we ended the year with a really large fund balance because of a little glitch with TERS that we had talked TERS on behalf. So we have to move some of those funds out of the operating budget, and we are recommending that some of those funds be used to purchase this program. So it's not coming out of, per se, operating costs. We're not taking money away from students or anything like that. We're taking capital funds for this. And that's it in a nutshell. I mean, I could go on for hours, but I don't know how exciting this is for everybody. Questions?
How old is this program? Has it been used in schools for 1, 2, 5 years?
That's a good question. So Tyler's been in business since 1966. And then they first started out as a holding company, and they acquired all these companies. And they went through a strategic planning change in 1998, 1999. And they sold all those other businesses and decided to focus solely on public sector software and services. So they're the largest company that does software programs for boroughs, federal government, local government, and they're the only one that does only that. So that's all they do is service the public sector. So, 98, 99.
Okay. Do they recommend us upgrading any of our hardware if you buy this program?
Nope. Nope. And it interfaces with both Windows or Apple. Mm-hmm. So,
it's either one.
That was John's first question.
Those were all his questions.
Thanks.
Okay. More? Do you have anything you want to add?
Do you have any questions? No, I don't think so. I think that's all the, I think it's just the inefficiency piece is big. I mean, I've watched what you do manually now for over a year. It's impressive.
I can't erase it from my mind now.
It's like,
I've really seen something better.
Yes.
And it's like, oh no.
And I have talked with other districts as well, when I go to different meetings too, and just talked about what processes, they have in place or what kinds of programs they're using. And we're fortunate to have the people doing the work that they're doing. That's what I'll say. Mm-hmm. There are systems that are much more efficient.
Okay. Well, and I think maybe reminding the fact that the program we have is from 30 years ago.
35.
Oh, it's even further back.
It's been in the district for 35 years. When our auditors started in 2000, they said it was an old mm-hmm. system.
Sarah?
Yes.
She was there.
We keep forgetting you're there. Sorry.
Cheryl, just
go ahead.
Okay, I have a quick question, and it's a little hard to hear. So if this got asked and answered already, I apologize. Erica kind of alluded to it a little bit as well, as so did Karen. I was just trying to wrap my head around kind of a comparison to what other districts are using, and I know, like, for me, like, I'm looking at the cost, it feels expensive, but I've got to assume that there's typically more cost associated than what we've been paying since we haven't done anything for so long. So I guess I'm kind of beating around the bush. It seems like a big jump, whereas maybe other districts moving to this, it wouldn't be such a big jump. But comparatively to what other districts use, would this be a typical kind of price range?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think even with you just saying that the Affordable Care Act, just to buy that single program, would be $7,000 a year, and this, I mean, mm-hmm. the $80,000 that we're looking at is the software
setup
and introduction into our district. So that's not, you know, an annual cost, but sounds like just Affordable Care Act reporting company can bring in about $7,000, whereas this one and this license that'll go along with this software will be a little bit more than that, but capture so much more than just the one. So,
and the other thing is, once the license is purchased, as they make the changes, so they work really hard on their education piece of it. So a lot of times when you purchase a software, you know, your learning curve is like this. It flattens out. But their software is going to continue to improve, which we don't currently have that with BDS. And so one of their mission statements is actually to decrease that area, so that districts are actually moving along at a closer pace to how they're changing rather than the stagnation that tends to happen. Is there a lot of change in school accounting? Not necessarily, but there's efficiencies to programs like the interfacing with ASOP and the interfacing with the procurement cards that they want to see districts utilize. You know, and we're not thinking just about this 1 year. What if we do bring in electronic time cards in a couple of years from now? This program can grow with that. The software can grow with that. And once we buy the license, all those upgrades come at no cost to the district. And right now we pay $1,600 a year for Banyan Data System, and I never call them. I haven't called them once in the last year and a half. And we pay $450 for QuickBooks. We would probably integrate ASB, the student activities, into this program as well, because mm-hmm. it can have its own fund. And then again, yeah, the Affordable Care Act, if we decided that we were going to get a service for that $7,000. So right there, that's, you know, that's $9,000.
Well, and that reporting is going to continue to change and
it is.
Grow as well.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even started that.
Yeah, and I asked the Tyler rep about whether they were ahead of the curve on changes and how those updates come to us, and he assured us that they are watching legislation as it comes out and already creating things for the system and for the licenses. So mm-hmm. they're ahead of the curve instead of behind it, or having to do quick, let's make it up really fast. So
the other thing is you know, Kodiak does use the program, but there are about 6 other districts right now in the state that are looking at the program, because Tyler has recognized that Alaska is a state that is not being serviced in software, because they can do large districts and they can do small districts. And their smallest district has 8 students in it that Tyler services. They've already talked to the state about how they can actually set up their reports so that we can pull the state report right from their program
mm-hmm.
rather than manually entering it, which is, that one's easy, relatively.
When you researched the different software companies, what was the typical price range for software for doing this?
To be honest, I didn't research a ton of other software. The 3 softwares in the state are, for a school district our size, are Black Mountain and Alio. And the people in the state that use those, nobody was happy with the programs. So I didn't get a price range. I will say that Infinite Vision said that they are a little bit more expensive than these other programs.
Hmm. I know I bought software before, really expensive software, and some, at least I've noticed sometimes you're buying a lot more software than you really need. You're only using like 5% of what you're actually buying.
This program, the quote that you see in front of you has been tailored to our school district. So originally when it started out, it was $100,000, mm-hmm. I think, is what it was. And I said, we're not going to use a fixed asset. Take that off. We're not going to use that component. The employee reimbursement, for example, an employee can go in and say, I took a taxi while I was traveling and send it electronically, reimburse me. We don't want that program. We don't want invoicing. We don't do enough invoicing to make it worthwhile. So the components that you see on the quote are the components we actually believe will benefit our district. The flip side of that is if after we've implemented, we're not using the electronic document portion of it, they'll refund us the money. Or we can add components on. If we say, oh, well, we really like this, maybe we want to add this on. So they're really willing to work with us. They want the school district to be successful. Yeah. So.
Okay. Any other questions? It's a lot of money, but I think it's at least it's feeling like we have it in the capital budget. It's not coming out of the general fund, and we haven't spent anything on this portion.
And it does show in there, you know, it has a one price for the software, and then their services to help the district get up and running. I mean, they have project manager, 80 hours to help us, and then training, 196 hours.
That's a lot of training.
I mean, and consulting, they give us 204 hours of consulting time. So it's not like $80,000 just for software. This is all. It also includes their services to help us for that first initial mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm. So. And I think we even talked to them too about that. That if we don't need 200 hours of time to work on one aspect, you know, we will.
Right.
And modify then that too.
They did say that the reason why we have to vote on it today, tonight, is because they're very, very busy, and if we don't do it now, it's not going to happen.
Well, I don't want you guys to feel you don't have. If you don't feel ready to make a decision, that's okay. It is okay. Mm-hmm. This would work best for implementation because we would want to go live July 1.
Yeah.
And the training. So yes, there is the $46,000 in training essentially, and I wasn't shy with them. I told them I don't want them to come on site to help me with a bank reconciliation. I told them we can't go over this amount for the training. And their project manager has already sent me a tentative schedule, and most of the training for the three of us, it'll be Irene, me, and Adrian, most of it will actually be distant training, online training, and then they'll come on site for the actual implementation of it. So I mean, there's going to be a lot of hours in the whole training part of it because it's a huge process to make this kind of a transition, which is why we haven't come to the board before this, because we haven't really been ready. Mm-hmm. And I think this is, timing-wise, this is perfect timing.
Exactly.
We've been talking about restructuring for a while.
Restructuring. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a recurring fee of $10,000. Mm-hmm. Is that annually?
It is, and that would start July 1st, 2017. So in this initial quote of $69,000, $70,000, that there's no fee in that year. So it'll start fiscal year 18.
What are they giving us for that $10,000 a year?
It's on the quote. Let me find the quotes here. Oh, I left it back.
Sorry.
No, good question.
Mm-hmm. It's really support services for the different components to the program. So for the core accounting, right now, you know, for our annual fee for the core accounting, we pay $1,600. That's basically to have access to their people to ask any questions that we may have, any issues that come up. That's $2,916 annually. The human resource is $1,200 for the support for that. And the web portal, which is the employee portal, is $845 annually fee. And then they do have fees for interfacing with ASOP, and that's $505, and then the $1,105. And the document management fee is $1,150. So a total of $7,721 for support for the program. And then there's the web hosting of $2,548. And when I'm looking at this, I mean, I this has been obviously something we've discussed quite a bit. I'm thinking that these costs can be saved, actually. I mean, either a zero or actually even a benefit to the district in a cost savings, because you're looking at reallocating personnel resources. Mm-hmm. Maybe I pick up some other tasks that some people in our district are currently doing, but they're overloaded in their workload. Mm-hmm. So it's really about, when you're balancing out efficiency and cost, I think this is a cost-effective program. And it's not something that is an impulse decision. I've been thinking about this for over a year. So, but those are great questions, because yes, there will be maintenance cost with it.
Okay, thanks.
I think also this was something that our prior superintendent, Dr. Thompson, had wanted to investigate at some point in the future, is moving the district more. You know, we have our efficiencies in other areas and technology with students, that we needed to look at other areas. And I know that that was one of the things he had wanted to consider, but I think it was just put on the back burner.
He asked me the first year I started, do you want to get a new software system? I said, no, I don't. I want to learn on this one first, because the learning curve was so huge. And then mm-hmm. he asked again probably about 3 years ago, and that's when John and I started right. actually talking to other districts. What mm-hmm. are you using? How does it work? Yeah. And it was not an enlightening experience in the sense, in a positive way. It was mm-hmm. more like, oh, maybe there's not a good fit out there. And so the fact that I found them over a year ago, and I've been able to see it from a business manager perspective working with Kodiak, has been really the best way to learn about a system, I think. And then they came on site. It was a pretty extensive demonstration. It was a whole day.
And I think some of our board members were able to attend it and get the full mm-hmm. story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if we want to have any more discussion. What is the board feeling like? Do you want to move forward or not?
It sounds like we need to update our software. It's just, if this is the right one for us, I guess it's
mm-hmm.
a
yeah.
question. I always worry in a salesman tells me you're going to make the decision tonight, or I'm walking. That's always a red flag for me. It's like, I'm walking then. But it's, yeah. So if they tell me you have to make that decision right this second, or you can't do it.
Well, and we can still wait.
Okay.
Yes, we asked the same thing.
I mean,
Dave.
The part of it was is that when we got the presentation, it takes 4 to 6 months in order to build it. So if we want to go live by July 1st, which is the best timing, really, for financials within our district, then that's why we have to decide it, basically, now. And she reserved a spot for us in case we wanted to get into their summer workload, because they are full of other districts that are coming on board. So that was the explanation as to why it seems like it's now or never, but I mean, we could have decided this, I guess, a few months ago, but we hadn't gotten the presentation, and...
Right.
Well, hello, it's Megan. Hello?
Yep, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, it's really not necessarily now or never, but it would be now or an entire year from now, so that would be, you know, if we delay, we're delaying a year, so that's... It's doable. It's just a decision that we need to make.
I guess the question is, what would change your decision from now to next month? Or
I think my only question is it, are we buying a Mercedes program, or are we buying a Chevy? We don't have anything to compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are there ones out there that are $10,000 to do most everything we need, but not quite as nice? Or is this like the nicest one that there is out there available? But if this is the one you think is the best, then
I don't think this is the nicest one that's available. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles. It has every component that we need to be more efficient, to provide all the needs that we have for the board, the community, and our staff members. And really, honestly, when I look at the price, I think it's reasonable.
Okay.
I mean, we're not going to get things that we're not going to use, because that's not really the way the finance office or the district office really operates. This has really been something that we've hummed and hawed about and done a lot of research on, because we know it's such a big purchase. And it's, from what I have seen, it is the best option out there for our district.
Okay.
That's the way I would put it.
Okay. Well, and I'm wondering, too, if there's any opportunity for us to potentially do some more negotiating, or whatever you want to call it, on some of those ongoing costs, or some of even with the maintenance or the training or that sort of thing. You know, if we really were to have some more conversations with them about that, I think it would be worth that, because sometimes with a smaller district, they'll, you know, if we kind of push back a little bit on that, you can find some efficiencies there too. So I'd be willing to do that.
Thank you.
Sorry.
No, don't ever apologize for questions. All right, well, I think I'll go ahead and call for the vote. Eileen, if you could, do a voice vote.
Mara Lutomsky?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Megan Litster?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're up next again. Director of Finance Karen Quitzel will give an overview of the changes and answer any questions to the budget revision. So I'll make a motion to approve the 2016 budget revision, if I could have a second.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded, and now we can have a discussion, but first we'll hear from Karen.
Okay, in your board packet behind the quote for the infinite margins is the summary sheet for the budget revision. And we're trying something new this time, and I'd love to hear feedback if you prefer this or don't. We're going to do a PowerPoint presentation instead and just talk about the highlights. And Rick is going to drive for us. Thank you. We'll see how he does. Okay, go ahead. Nice. Can you make that cleaner? Can you center it better?
No.
Okay. So we kind of want to look back at what we had based the original budget assumptions on with our revenue. And we did a pretty good job overall. We had done our original budget on the increase of the $50 to the base student allocation for fiscal 16. So the base student allocation was $5,880. That actually did pass, which we weren't sure at the time we created the operating budget. House Bill 278 was not funded. We didn't anticipate it to be funded, so no surprises there. The Alaska Food Grant was not funded, so we based our budget on that, and that actually did happen. So really the unknown was the Healthy Living Grant. At the time we created our budget for the state, we really didn't have an idea if that was going to be funded. And it was funded at a 56%. We received $85,000 for fiscal 16. In fiscal 15, that was $150,000. So that's the Healthy Living Grant. We received a portion of that. All the other budget assumptions when we created the original budget stayed the same, with the exception of our ADM, which is average daily membership. That's our OASIS account, that count that we do in October. We had projected 442 students, and we actually came in at 460.51. I'm not sure exactly how you come up with a 0.51, but we did. Okay, go ahead. And that didn't show up very well, but that is the sheet that you guys actually have in front front of you. It's the summary sheet. And on the next slide, let's hopefully do a little better on this one. Maybe make it, that's good, Rick. Thank you.
Just sit there and hold it.
Okay, so I do want to talk about the beginning fund balance on July 1st, 2015. We actually have to increase our beginning fund balance by $433,000. Back in August, remember the PERS and TERS on behalf, we did a budget revision, and we allocated those PERS and TERS on behalf into the budget. These were numbers that were given to us by the state that we just allocated out appropriately. Well, on August 17th, they sent a revised PERS, actually a revised TERS on behalf letter to all the districts that they had basically over reported the amount to the districts. So that $433,000 is actually the TERS amount that we had to actually put back into our fund balance. In September meeting, we did an information only for you guys because we didn't actually have to do another revision, but we talked about it. But that's the discrepancy right there from our beginning fund balance where we had originally projected it to be at $891,000 and we came in at $1.3 million. So that $433,000 correlates to the $300,000 that we are proposing to move out of the current budget and into the Tyler Technologies Infinite Visions and the ADA compliance and into the new phone-wide phone system. These are projects that we've actually been talking about as a district the phone system since I started, so 5 years ago. Tyler Technologies is a software program that we just went over, and the ADA compliance, we're just realizing as a district we need to get up to speed with our ADA compliance in the facilities. So we will create new funds for each of these projects. So they're not going to be lumped into one capital fund. They will have their own account.
And the reason two things there is just to note that this doesn't mean we're going to spend $150,000, $15,000 next month.
No.
Fixing the elevator or $100,000, next month, with a new phone system. But we need to create those pools, pockets of money in capital. We need to be more specific. That's what the auditors told us that too. They want budgets for what we're doing with that money, and we need to have a plan, a better plan. For it.
So it's a lot like the vehicle replacement.
Yes.
Yes.
Fund.
And the kitchen.
We're doing the kitchen. Specifying mm-hmm. what's in that capital funds and making different pots.
Yeah.
Where certain money is designated to.
It is. It's basically specified. Mm-hmm. Is what the accounting term would be. Is these funds are specified for that. Let's say you don't need $115,000, then you can actually transfer it out. In time. I mean, we would keep that money in that fund, that capital project, for a while because we're always going to be improving our facilities mm-hmm. and becoming more ADA compliant.
Right.
So for the Tyler Technologies, if it comes in at $80,000 and we want to move that $5,000 out, we can. We can move it into capital. What we want to move away from is a general capital fund, which is really predominantly what we've had. Whenever we've transferred money out, we've just put it into capital. Well, there's no budget in there. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, it's not designated. So we're trying to, as a district, recognize what needs, facility needs that we have, or even technology needs,
right.
and plan for the future is what we're really doing.
Right. And we want to schedule a work session to do that with all of you, actually, just to talk about that. Need to.
I wish I had my camera to take a picture of you. Go ahead.
It's so good.
It's impressive.
So really the only change when we're looking at our overall revenue is our state sources increase of $419,000, and that is directly related to the foundation formula and our increase in students.
Now you're in trouble.
Oh, there we go.
You can go to the next slide.
Okay, we'll follow down on the screen.
So now, I've talked about the top part, the revenue portion. That's awesome. Thank you, Rick. Very nice. Now we're going to talk about expenditures, and really, as a board, you are... the auditors would say you are approving based on approving the budget based on function. And when we talk about function in fund accounting, school accounting, we're talking about what we do. So function 100 is regular instruction. It also includes ESL and Voc Tech. And I actually have a typo in there. You see I've got staff transportation twice. It really should be 2,200. But when I'm working through all these sheets and trying to summarize these for you, I have to do it manually.
Not anymore.
Well, it'll still be for a while. Still be for a little while. So some of these increases, you know, they're really minimal. But we just want to be as transparent as possible and kind of talk to you guys about what these increases are. So staff transportation, like I said, that's a typo. It really should be 2,200. Some small changes in salaries and payroll, and that has to do with the fact that our migrant funds came in so much less than what we thought. There was a cut in migrant Title I-C of 37%, so we actually had to absorb more of that into the general fund. So that's $12,831. The freshman laptops, that increase of $30,000, that's actually for our students for next year. So we always purchase the laptops the spring before the next school year for the freshmen, for the incoming freshmen. So we're increasing that because at the end of last year, so by June 30th, the bill had not come in from Apple. So really, those funds were encumbered, but we have to report them as expenditures. So it's like we're doubly reporting. So we're putting more money into that fund to account for the upcoming freshman class. We can just disregard that staff transportation again. Increase of teaching supplies of $23,700. This was based on a lot of discussion with the admin team. What are the needs for the district? And they all identified some things that the district needs in their locations or sites. And so the teaching supplies increase of $23,700. VHS and Odyssey Wear programs were actually going to purchase next school year's programs this year on this year's budget. Trying to have a plan of what we can fund this year given the fact that next year's budget is unknown. There's still a lot of unknowns, and it doesn't sound like we're going to really know what our budgets are going to be till the end of May, the beginning of June for next year. So small increase in Voc Tech supplies. And then equipment. So we're identifying some equipment needs in the district. Copiers, purchase of copiers at the high school, middle school, and elementary school. John and Caleb do an amazing job of managing those and identifying where the needs are and where we can cut costs down as far as in ink or just where the needs are. And so he's reshifting where the copiers currently are, and we're getting new copiers for the offices, I believe is where the new ones are going. Choir risers is being built into this budget. Upgrade in instruments or replacement of instruments, definitely needed in the music department. Some small increases for equipment for pottery and jewelry. The middle school common tables, that actually happened back in September, October. And then identifying some needs at the elementary school. They need some tables, chairs, and shelvings for an additional classroom. Is there any questions on this slide before? Go ahead.
What were the instruments for?
Music.
What?
Music.
We purchase instruments?
We have a supply of them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The majority of them are larger instruments that are kind of specialty, like
tuba.
Baritone. Smaller, not sousaphone, anyway, one of those.
Baritone?
Something like that.
The drum line?
As well as you need a Barry Sax. No, it's all, it's one of the small tuba things. Whatever Brim played with one of those. So we need a couple of larger instruments to kind of
stuff. Euphonium?
Euphonium, that was
nice. Job.
Thank you.
Good job. It's here. And actually, the instruments are quite expensive.
Oh, I know.
So, it's a great use of these funds to be able to you know, work with that program. Okay. So So now we're looking at function 200, which is special education instruction, a small increase of $5,000 for teaching supplies. Function 300, support services students. That's actually the counselor budget and tutoring budget. Just a small increase of $1,200 in that one for payroll and liabilities. Support services instruction, that's our library and technology support. Again, some small increases at both the elementary and the high school for library supplies. And then the high school library has requested cafe tables, so there's a small amount for that as well. And then technology support, there are always technology needs district-wide, and I know that that number comes out really strange, but it's was the number that worked into the budget that John needed, so an increase of $14,961 in that one. Go ahead. Sorry. School administration, that's a principal's budget, function 400, no change in that one. Function 450, school administration support services, that's our secretary's budget, small increase of $1,000 for office supplies. Function 510, which is district administration and the Board of Education, an increase of $25,083. There's small increases of $8,865 for salaries and benefits, and professional services was when, I think it was Timmy Tullis came and did a work session. There was nothing budgeted in for that, so that's been added in. Small increase in staff transportation, staff travel, for going to the legislative fly-ins. And then other supplies and equipment, an increase of $12,325. And that actually ends up being things like office supplies for the district office, as well as new desks for our superintendent and our admin secretary. It's built into there, so, and chair. District administration support services, that's actually the finance office, that's my budget, an increase in staff transportation of $2,000, and that's because I'm now part of the ALASBO board, and so I'm required to do some traveling for that. Increase in liability insurance, that's actually just to make it be the actual cost, an increase of $953. And then dues and fees, an increase of $2,000. And what that really is district-wide we've started taking credit cards, and there is a fee to take these credit cards, and we've required all of our substitutes and new hires to do background checks. And I really wanted to simplify portions of what we do, and I actually want it to come out of the finance office. I want those fees to just be in function 550, which is my budget. It just makes it more streamlined. And then, you know, when... if there's ever a question down the road, where do fees, dues and fees come in for credit cards, ACH, which is our direct deposit, it just comes out of the finance office. It just seems more streamlined to me. So that accounts for that. You can go ahead and change. Okay, this is operations and maintenance. This is where most of the changes have happened. It's an overall increase of $24,000, and there's been some staff changing, so payroll benefits went down a little bit by $4,500. Professional services increased by $7,000, and that covers things like the fire inspections, the elevator inspection, fire alarm services, fire extinguish...
Certification,
thank you. So that will account for that. $2,000 increase in staff transportation. That's so Dan can go and get asbestos trained. I really felt like utilities were over budgeted, and of course with the elementary school siding project, we certainly are seeing quite a cost savings there in fuel and electricity. And we've had a pretty mild winter, so those things have all factored in, and I felt really comfortable decreasing those budgets by $89,000. There's still, I feel, enough cushion in there that we're not going to go over budget on those, so we may even see at the next revision where that number goes down. So I move those numbers into purchase services. rather than making a huge change in the overall budget, because you'll see at the very end, we still end with a large fund balance. So moved it into purchase services. As an admin team, we have been talking about a lot of needs, facility needs, concrete, lights in the...
We're talking in the high school shop.
High school shop. I mean, there's just so many needs, and it's a great opportunity for us to take some of our cost savings and utilities and put it back into our facilities. Mm-hmm. Property insurance, we were originally quoted a little bit higher of a number, so that decrease of $12,000 is the actual cost of our property insurance. And then a small increase in maintenance and custodial supplies to get Dan through the end of the school year, and $5,000 in equipment. So the overall change is an increase of $24,000. Now we're on to student activities, and I have to commend Jamie for what an awesome job he's done with transportation, student transportation within the different activities. His budget saw the largest cuts with this fiscal 16 budget, and he has stayed within budget, which I didn't think he would do. So I'm really, really impressed. And so there's no increase at this point in his transportation budget, which is unbelievable. So,
that's awesome.
Again, as an admin team, we identified needs that were needed at the district at the activity level, some small sports equipment, that's balls for volleyball, basketball, baseball scoreboard, and it's my understanding that the cost will be split with Little League, so that's built in there, and then baseball turf for gym. So just an overall increase of $8,500 in activities. Very commendable. Go ahead. Thank you. So you can see $300,000 in the blue transferred and out of, it's other financing uses, so transferred into these capital funds here that would be created if the board approves. $85,000 again into Tyler Technologies, $115,000 into ADA facility compliance, and $100,000 into the new district-wide phone system. Something a little bit about this phone system is that we have been talking about this since I've been with the district. Portions of this project are E-rate eligible. So John and I, if this gets approved, John and I will actually work to write in whatever components of the phone system that could be written into E-rate. So right now, the way E-rate works is they pick up 70%, the district's responsible for 30%. And we never know if Category 2 is going to be funded, so that's always it's always questionable. But there's no question that we need a new district-wide phone system. We just want to maximize the funds by putting it in with our E-rate application. So overall, our ending fund balance is $1.1 million, which, you know, we're capped at the 10%, which would be $895,000. So we are carrying a larger fund balance than what we really should be. However, we really didn't feel as an admin team that we should be making the decisions on where to put these funds if we want to move them to capital. Some of this will be absorbed back into the general fund in the next budget revision, but some of it's going to have to be transferred out. Initially, our hope was that we could get the state to change that 10%, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen. If we weren't limited at that 10%, we could definitely do some longer-term planning as a district, just as far as our operating budget, but we are going to be required to absorb it into the general fund or transfer it out. And since we have so many facility needs, and, Dan's done an amazing job of working on big projects the last number of years, and we've really maintained our buildings at a very high level. But there's always needs, you know. So we are hoping that the board will work with us and do a work session so we can plan for the next budget revision and have a better idea of what the board identifies as the needs for the district when we're talking capital.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's the budget revision in a nutshell.
Any questions?
The 230, that is after the phone system, after the technology, after... Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I think one of the things maybe that just to clarify with the... one of the issues that we had last year and certainly this year with the large number of students coming in, which was fantastic. They've come in throughout the year, though, and so... we've had people ask, well, you know, if they've come in and you feel that you're understaffed, why aren't you addressing that? And the problem with that is it's not that simple, as you guys could imagine, too. You know, you don't get all of your kids don't all come in as fourth graders, where you mm-hmm. could say, okay, we need to hire a fourth grade teacher and we're going to have that new class start in October. It doesn't work, you know, like that. And so, you know, schedules become set in middle and high school, and so you know, you flex and you grow, and then teachers absorb more students, and you know, people take on more tasks. So it's a tricky time, because in this crazy budget world right now, we have been so reluctant to overstaff that we're understaffed. For the last
2 years.
And it's, you know, it's starting to show. So it's going to be, it's kind of a tricky position to be in,
mm-hmm.
Because we're very fiscally aware of what's going on, but we're also understaffed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Well, the trend had been declining enrollment. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were at 424, mm-hmm. and then we came in at 442.
And then 465.
And then 460.
Because really we're at 465 now.
Well, I use the OASIS count. I'm sorry. But so it's so hard to project personnel needs. And we do have a number of staff members that are taking on large workloads, really.
Yeah.
You know.
Overstaffing AP classes. And we just are. We just have incredible people that are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing. But... you can only sustain that so long, so.
Which would account for some of our...
It accounts for
extra.
It is.
Is that the additional
yes.
40-plus students, but
it's
no additional
years. Right.
Expense in instruction or...
I want to know about Jamie's budget. I know he's done an awesome job, but we also know the ferries now have increased their rates. They're not as convenient as they used to be. So I'm starting to wonder if we need a little more money in his budget to help him... get students to and from places. Maybe we have to fly them once in a while instead of, you know, spending a week on the ferry where
well,
it's costing
we just
them
did.
Money.
Yeah, we just did. And our past trip was, I am plugging every different service that I can figure out into one trip. And so this last trip to Haines was, you were taking your minimal needs. You're going to ferry up to Haines. What days of the week we're playing so we can give ourselves two shots on weather and Alaska seaplanes, and I chartered three planes out of there to Juneau. Talked to student services in Juneau, first student, and they bus our kids because it's cheaper than renting a van, and the buses are waiting there to pick our kids up to take them to Thunder Mountain. And they overnight in the library at Thunder Mountain so we don't spend money on hotel rooms, and then we jump on the ferry. Student services picks us up at 4 in the morning, whatever time in the morning, drops us off at the ferry terminal, and half the cost of a rental van.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I just think that might cost more money, so we might want to start planning.
I will be a travel agent.
You are amazing.
Give me some resources.
A lot of good help from other ADs too across the region. We're kind of looking out for each other, saying,
mm-hmm.
"Hey, I know you can't really afford 7 hotel rooms, so just bunk up at the school and just make it easy for them." So
yeah.
A lot of help from them too. And Karen for helping me stay on track.
Any other questions?
No. Thank you, Karen. Okay, we don't have any further questions. Irene, please call the roll.
Certainly. Megan Litster?
Yes.
Mara Lukomski?
Yes.
Cheryl Pyle?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, motion passes 5-0. Next, we have the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. Rick Dummer will provide an overview of the Youth Risk Behavior Survey that was administered to high school students last spring, 2015.
Okay, yeah, we got our Youth Risk Behavior Survey has been built in with the last three years, of the Healthy Living Grant that Ginger Evans leads, and that's something, I don't know if it was a requirement, but it's something they built in when we proposed to get the grant, and so it's something we took a couple years ago. We had 109 of the 147 students in the high school took it. We just got the data back February of 2016. Our 6th through 12th graders took it on January 28th of 2015. So just for the record, That's not a good lag time, and it has nothing to do with us here. So we got it, and really within a week, week and a half, the superintendent got it sent out, and Rachel worked really hard on it, Etcher there, to get it going. We just got the high school data, and they sent us an email telling us that we would get the middle school data so hopefully sometime over the summer. So over a year and a half after taking the survey. And what do you do? Anyway. It's good data in there. It's good stuff to look at. We broke it down with the, again, we had the middle school staff in there, which these are just, you know, they really all share these kids. And I looked at the high school data, and I'll just kind of give you some of the areas. So we took notes on there. We broke into small staff groups and analyzed these pages and pages of documents of this survey. And this is, I should back up by saying, the youth risk behavior is the one that we have to get individual or parent permission for them to take it. Unlike the school climate characters where they kind of talk about what they see in other people, this is, you know, I, you know, work hard, I eat vegetables, you know, sexual activity in high school, I've tried alcohol, that kind of, those type of hard questions. So it is, it's a little trickier, but I think the data also is slightly more revealing than the school climate connectedness. So some of the highlights, some of the areas that came up that were, we called them focus areas either because there were a couple of them that staff felt were a little lower, and this is mostly compared to the state average, what we're looking at, and we had lots of positives in a couple areas with that. Well, let's talk about those. Cyberbullying came up, which is not a big surprise, and this is that one of those times when we had a couple of those new apps that had come out, and students were still working on those, so, and we're discovering them and finding new ways to pick on each other with them, and it was something we addressed, and to be very honest, I think you agree some of those yik yaks and those asks and stuff have kind of gone away. We know that's still an issue, but it is something that came up during this survey with cyberbullying. I like that response. kids trying tobacco came up as something we were concerned about. A number of students, both with tobacco, vaping, that include dip and snuff. Kids trying marijuana came up. In the high school, it said about a third of our kids, 10% of them before the age of 13. That was an alarming statistic that we wanted to talk about and address further with staff. Kids trying alcohol is at 63%, and as well as inhalants and other drugs, was higher than the state average. It was around 10%. But that still obviously was a concern and something we wanted to talk about with staff and talk about ways to investigate. We brought up sexual activity amongst high school students. That came in at around a quarter of our students, 26%. But at the same time, there was a category that had to do with having protective sex as well as not having sex. They kind of lumped it. It was kind of hard to understand. But that was at 91%, which was fantastic. So we had this, and that's too high. But the other side, also some positives out of that, and that's a pretty good statistic. So something else staff wanted to talk about further and address. And then the... there were kind of a sad, hopeless feelings that came in with suicide and depression, and this is attempted suicide in our schools was, in the high school was 6.6% reported on the survey, which obviously anything over zero there is unacceptable. Thoughts about suicide, 18%, and students who had actually planned to commit suicide was 20% in the high school. This is January 2015, so those are extremely alarming. One of the stats, kids that felt sad or hopeless almost every day for a two-week period or more, so sad that they actually felt that they stopped some of their usual daily activities, and this happened over the past 12 months, was a third of our students, 33% in the high school. So that's also very alarming. And then finally, students that just say that they feel alone, 50 to 60%. And so, and we agreed as a staff, one of the things with the timing, the suicide awareness and prevention grant that Rachel's been leading up is coming to a close, and we've been working closely with Peter's Mental Health, and we'll be reapplying, of course, for that, and that we're going to use some of these staffs to hopefully get that, but also use that grant to continue to focus. And we have some programs already in place that we're trying to keep funding for, as well as PBIS and those type of things. But those will be our two areas, obviously, as we talk about suicide risk, talk about feeling alone, the sad, hopeless feeling, that kind of stuff is our first one we're going to address, and then obviously continue discussions about the rest. So
we started with the depressing, and we know high school's hard and lots of stuff to talk about. On the positives, physical activity is much, much higher than the state average. I think it came up as 80%. Our survey, Mr. Cabral will tell us 88%, I believe, of our students are involved in some sort of activity, which is outstanding, and we knew, compared to the state average, we'd be killing that. Eating healthy and drinking water, much, much higher than the state average, and we'll see a couple things here. I think that that ties in with the Healthy Living Grant and the great efforts of everybody involved with that, as well as Mrs. Evans, who leads that, and that's fantastic. A high number of students, we have a very high number of students doing some community service hours. We actually have a steep drop-off when we get to a lot of community service hours, and staff kind of hypothesizing that our kids are also really busy, so we see a couple of them here on a late night, and we think once it gets to a point, I think they're so busy they can't do any more, but that's a positive statistic of how involved our kids are doing in our community. The majority of our students, over 70%, agree that there are teachers here that really care about them and offer encouragement. And that's something that's in one of the surveys, the School Climate Connects us as well, and that we feel very good about. It's a focus of what we do every day. And the majority of students, over 88%, say there is at least one adult in their lives besides their parents that they feel comfortable seeking help from in times of need. And that's also a big one. And that's that could be this community member. It doesn't have to be a teacher or staff member. So that's also, I think, really important and key to what we do, and again, part of the community as well. So there were also areas in the survey that came up as data statistically unreliable or data not reportable, and it has to do with the small sample size. They actually say the middle school results, because they're less than 100 students, are not considered, it's just statistically, there's not a high enough sample size for us to share it and say, this is the way it is here because it's so low, which is a little odd because that's the whole school. You know, if 100, you've talked middle school kids, but in the high school, obviously, we had slightly more than that. So if a few kids didn't answer a question, it dropped beneath the 100 threshold. Or some of them, like one of them that we kind of laughed, the one of them was about kids who eat vegetables every day and they wouldn't give us the number. It said it was data not reportable. We thought, are we worried about, you know, but it's possible that everybody said, and so if you get 100% statistic, then that means we know everyone who took the survey eats their vegetables and that we would know something about them, so they don't give us that data. And then something also could be, yeah, clearly that's an issue, and something could be also so low if there was just one response with something, I don't think they gave it to us data, and some of those were, you know, the very difficult ones about very difficult, you know, sexual dating type of things and violence at the home and that kind of stuff, and majority of those came back as those, and my hope is we don't have a number that they were so low that would consider to be not reportable data for us to base anything on. So we do have a couple of those, and again, this is a big packet of lots of data. So that is, in a nutshell, what you get from a very difficult subject, but again, really, really important to what we do every day, especially, and with all kids, but especially in high school, I think they're turning into young adults and what they're dealing with. So again, thanks to Ms. Setcher for doing a lot of work, and the staff members sat down and took it very seriously, and we spent every single minute of that in-service day talking about this stuff, so it's great. Any questions?
I just have a comment that listening to it is good to know, both on community level as well as on a school level, but that it has all the time spent analyzing it and talking about it, I know doesn't have a direct link to academics, which is really what school is about,
yeah.
And yet our teachers and staff are taking on this other ball of wax in order to help kids learn that it is all part of a kid being able to be successful, but the fact that how education has changed over so much, that before it really was all about just educating the kid and sending them out the door,
yeah.
And realizing what our teachers and staff members have to take on in addition to just teaching them the subjects. So we thank you for analyzing this and taking that into account,
yeah.
For the kids that walk through the door every day.
Yeah, big responsibility. And we will be taking the survey again next year using the Healthy Living Grant funding to support that. So, okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dormer. Next, we'll move on to a personnel hire. I'll make a motion to approve the employment of Francis Abbott, Intensive Instructional Assistant.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded, and sounds like she'll be filling in for the school year at least. And
she's working in the elementary
already?
School. And
right. Okay.
Doing great. Former student.
Yep. And here's her resume if any of the other board members would like to take a look at it and pass it around.
Yeah.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes 5-0. Next, we have resignation acceptance. The board recognizes the resignation of Ashley Kawashima, part-time instructional assistant, effective January 27th, 2016. as accepted by the superintendent on behalf of the board per board policy 4117.2, and I believe she's headed on to graduate school. So we wish her the best. Next up is teacher contracts for teachers. I'll make a motion to approve the 2017 tenure teaching contracts as attached, and we have a list. And I think if you could give us a little bit, is that teachers after a certain period of time would...
Beginning of your fourth year.
Fourth year.
September 1st.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is looking at the list and wondering, oh, there aren't some of the teachers on there, that's because they're not, they haven't been here long enough.
Yeah, exactly. So don't panic. We have had people panic before.
So. So. Okay. I made a motion, if I can have a second.
Second.
Motion's been made and second. Any discussion on contracts? They have until March 31st to sign them, is that the correct?
They'll have 30 days.
30 days, okay. 30 days from?
They'll go out, they'll get them tomorrow.
Okay.
If you approve them all.
Okay. Any other questions on it? Okay, motion's been made and seconded. This might be a voice vote.
No.
No, because there's no money. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. 5-0. Next, contract negotiations. As Mara indicated earlier, that we are in the beginning stages of contract negotiations with the Petersburg's Teachers Association. It looks like they'll be meeting on February 16th to begin. And on Friday, the board is tentatively set to also have an executive session to meet so that we can discuss offering Superintendent Clint Painter a contract, as we were happy to have a, I missed it, sorry, but last month positive evaluation, and so we're ready to begin negotiations with the superintendent for a contract to continue on. And then for the principals, they're going, as Superintendent Clint Painter said earlier, they're in the middle of their evaluation process and will anticipate she would be saying or offering her suggestions, but I'm sure it's going to be just fine, but recommendation to renew their contracts. So, and we would be approving those next month as well. So next we'll go into the ASB legislative fly-in. So Mara, you were able to head up there to Juneau over the 6th and 7th?
So the Alaska Association of School Boards held a conference in at the same time as having this legislative fly-in. So the first day we talked about superintendent and board relations, and we have a pretty good thing going, I think, between our board and our superintendent, how it is. I did get some new ideas on how to keep that going into the future so that we keep up a positive relationship between the both of us. And I will bore the board with those details on Friday. And then the second day was all about legislature, how to lobby, what we should be lobbying on, and some of the House bills and some of the Senate bills that were being brought up this session. Governor Walker came and gave us a presentation about his fiscal plan and how he sees education falling into that. So I'll give just a quick overview of what his education budget looks like currently. So his is the only budget that has been brought before the legislature at this time. There are no other budgets out there that they're discussing. They are only discussing right now Governor Walker's. So it includes currently the $50 increase, that's House Bill 278, that ends up being about $12 million in the grand scheme of things. It includes 7 capital projects, of which Petersburg is one of them. So one of our projects will tentatively, if they all pass, if they all go through, we could be seeing funding for that. And then it also includes bond reimbursements, which is a big deal for the large 5 districts, Fairbanks and Anchorage. They bond out a lot of their projects to the city, and the state pays those back. And currently that's $122 million worth of education budget, so we'll see if that actually flies through as well. The biggest cuts, because he is proposing cuts to education, would not be with the formula, the foundation formula.